Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Indie Authors Roundtable. I'm your host, R.L. Jackson, author of the Crashing series, available on Nook, Kobo, and Amazon, the editor-in-chief of Indie Authors Monthly magazine on Magster, and also the host of Navigating Indie World Radio Show. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Carol P. Roman, author of over 50 books and host of Navigating Indie World Blog Show, and Let's Say Hello to Our Neighbors. I'm also creative director of the Indie Authors Monthly magazine.
Hi, I'm Anita Dickinson. I'm author of the FBI Tracker Crime Series novels, as well as the fiction editor and book reviewer for Indie Authors Monthly magazine.
Today's guest, Christy Stratos, is an award-winning writer who holds a degree in English literature. She's the author of Anatomy of a Darkened Heart and Brotherhood of Secrets, previously Lock and Key, the first two books in the Dark Victoriana collection. Christy has had short stories and poetry published in Janosko Literary Journal, Andromeda Review, 99 Fiction, and various anthologies. An avid reader of all genres and world literature, Christy reads everything from bestsellers to classics to indies. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Christy, this is Anita, and also my welcome to you for joining us here. I had a chance to read your book this past week, and I have to say I really did enjoy it. One of the things that really particularly intrigued me was how you wove the plot from the perspective of each of your main characters. That's something that I really like, is the multiple points of view. And this did play well into your title, Brotherhood of Secrets, a Victorian Psychological Suspense. What made you decide to add the genre to your title, and did it prove to be beneficial?
Can you repeat the beginning of the question, please? It came through a little bit
okay.
For me to hear. I'm sorry.
All right. Why did you decide to add the genre, your Victorian psychological suspense, to the title itself? And did you find that adding that in was beneficial to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. On Amazon, I noticed that, first of all, my book was called Lock and Key first. And thank you so much for reading it. I'm really glad you enjoyed it. And
well, you got a review, too, a good one.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was called Lock and Key. And frankly, between the cover, which is, it's my cover. I like it a lot. But it's an interesting cover, but doesn't show that it's Victorian. And then the title used to be Lock and Key, which didn't say much about the book. I ended up realizing that nobody really knew, just by looking at it and reading the title, what it was about. And that's why, for anybody who has read it before, when it was called Lock and Key, I ended up changing it to Brotherhood of Secrets, which is a lot more telling, as you know, and why I also include the word Victorian in the title now, so that people are aware as soon as they look up Victorian fiction or they're looking for something suspenseful, they're aware that this is historical fiction. Pretty much the more I can do to tell people what they're about to read before they even read the blurb, I've found has been a really good strategy, so that they don't waste any time, looking at a book where they read the blurb and then realize, you know, oh, it's this or it's that. Now they know right off the bat as soon as they look it up on Amazon.
Well, it was a good strategy because I think your title is really a good one. So,
thank you.
Hi, this is Carol here. I read the book also, and I left a review, and I enjoyed it. I thought your cover had like a more of a steampunk, kind of feel to it. So I think you're right. It does help that it said Victorian, that you expanded on the title. But I thought the Lock and Key title was brilliant, by the way. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Travis West said of your book, "Perhaps the thing I love most about this book, besides the beautiful writing, which is every bit as elegant as it was in Anatomy of Darkened Heart, is the uncertainty and the originality of the plot. So much of what we read has become predictable, but Lock and Key really bucks that trend by delivering a story that defies expectations and keeps you guessing to the end. Do you feel that you went deliberately, using unpredictability deliberately?
I did. I certainly did. What I dislike in books the most, even if I like a book, what I dislike the most in books is predictability. And a lot of times when we follow a certain structure as writers, it can be really beneficial for some readers who want to read a mystery that follows a particular, you know, particular trope, the same for romance or any genre, things like that, and a specific structure that is expected. But for me, I really like to read books that are so original that you have no idea what's going on, no idea where it's going, rather. You really can't predict the ending, and I find those relatively rare. And so I really did set out with the Dark Victoriana collection as a whole to make them all like that. We have no idea what could possibly happen because it is an unpredictable structure. It doesn't follow necessarily structures that you've seen before. And since the books are character-driven, both books in the Dark Victoriana collection, it's really up to the characters to tell us where the story is going. And since the characters, you can't know everything about them ahead of time, it really is, like I said, unpredictable. And so that is something that I wanted to create. And I think that it's a somewhat unique experience that I enjoy writing as well, because for me as the writer, it's a little bit unpredictable too.
Yeah, I want to ask one more question, girl. I'm sorry, girls, I don't mean to interrupt, but so did you plan out your plot before you even started the book? Did you know where you, so I think they call it a planner or a pantser, a seat of your pants person. So you're a planner then. You knew exactly where you were going when you started?
Believe it or not, I am a pantser. Nobody believes that when I say it. Everyone thinks I'm a plotter. But I am a pantser, and I do let the characters lead the way themselves. So I can think I know what's going to happen at the end of the book. But in both cases, in both of my books, it has turned out so different that any kind of outline, any kind of planning I did, I had to throw out the window. And I really had to let the characters just write the story themselves. And for some people, that is a very anxiety. That's an anxious type of thing to do. It makes me very nervous. For me, it's exciting, and I really like it because I don't get to know my characters early ahead of time. I sort of let them reveal themselves to me, and that can become a little bit of a frustrating process when they aren't showing me enough fast enough so that I can write in more of a fleshed-out way right off the bat, but that's okay. In that case, you know, I have a YouTube channel. It's under my author name. My name, and I do talk about what happens when I can't flesh out those characters fast enough. Sometimes I will have to sort of ask them questions about their psychology and understand them a little bit better. They sometimes don't open up to me right away, but, you know, so I am definitely a pantser in that way, which I find fun.
Yeah, I am too. I agree with you. I think RL has a question.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hi, Christy. So,
hi.
Are there any other books that influence your style, or did this just all come from, you know, inside you?
You know, I've had a lot of books that have influenced me in general, and I would say that I take in whatever fiction I read, and I take something out of everything I read. I'm a super analytical person. So anything I pleasure read, anything I read, even as part of my editing company, I'm always picking a part in my head and trying to sort of figure out what is it I like about it? What is it that works for me? What is it that I would change? And I do that with movies too. I do that all the time with movies, and I watch a lot of movies so that I can pick them apart and sort of figure out what I think works best and what I would want to apply to my own fiction. And that's how I continue growing as a writer, actually, I would say. And so I would say that Shakespeare has always been a huge influence for me. Hamlet is one of the biggest influences, Julius Caesar, Henry V, those three are really huge influences for me, and I would say that a major influence on my style of psychological writing is specifically Hamlet. When I first read that book when I was much younger, it really blew me away, and I hadn't read anything as psychological before, and it never occurred to me that you could do that, and from that point on, I really was interested in psychological fiction. And then I would read things like, I would read Gillian Flynn, who is heavily psychological, of course, and many other books, some that were psychological, some that were completely off base from that. But it's actually hard, except for Shakespeare, to pick one particular author or even a bunch of authors that have influenced me, because I really take something from everything I read.
That's interesting.
I mean, I can definitely, I do the same thing with movies and TV shows, and I'm like, why would they do that? Like, that's been done. Mm-hmm. And then you think of different ways that would make things interesting and put your own flavor to it. So, awesome.
That's right. That's exactly right. And sometimes I'll actually go onto my blog after I watch a movie. And if there's something in the movie where, you know, especially this is what bothers me when a movie is fantastic or a book, it's just that movies, obviously, you can watch in just half an hour, an hour and a half, whereas a book takes a little bit longer. But I'll read a movie. Sorry, I'll watch a movie, and I'll love it, except for, you know, one plot point that was off, or one character thing that was not consistent, or something like that. And I'll have to go onto my blog and sort of share with my readers, you know, okay, what is my opinion of how this could have been done in a better way, and see what people think. And I've actually found that on my blog, those posts seem to get the best response from people. They seem to be the most interesting to readers.
Wow.
Aurel, are you done? I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Your cast of characters are basically male. Do you intend to introduce a female into this secret society?
In my first book, Anatomy of a Darkened Heart, it was mostly female. Was only two males that have a lot less of a part in the book. They were important, but it was female-centric. And so the next book is actually going to play off of Brotherhood of Secrets. It's going to center around, for those who have read it, Timothy Kidson, who I don't want to give any spoilers, but anyway, it does center around him. So there will be a lot of male perspective in that one as well. The book after that will be feminine-centered. It's about a florist, so it's interesting. I just sort of go back and forth depending on, you may know this or maybe not, most of the books in the Dark Victoriana collection are actually going to be centered around different shops in the town. So it depends on who owns the shop, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I saw My Fair Lady, the production at Lincoln Center 2 weeks ago, and they actually changed the ending. And in the middle, yeah, it was interesting because in the play originally, Eliza sits at his feet, and it always kind of bothered me that he says, "Get my slippers," and she did that. And then, because you're writing in such a period, the Victorian period, women started pushing to get the rights to vote. It's like really an interesting time period. Women started going out of the house and working, and somebody could, like you said, a floral shop, somebody could, a hat shop, somebody could have a shop.
Christy, I'd like to go back to your Victorian era here. Your plot really could fit into any time frame. I can envision a little hole-in-the-wall shop on some back street in New York City or something in today's setting. So what made you decide to put this into the Victorian era?
I always say that the Victorian era chose me. I've always really liked Victorian jewelry and things like that. I studied a lot of the fashion for a paper I was writing in college, and I studied a lot of women's rights and things like that. Very, very interesting, as you already said. And so, you know, I didn't plan to write in the Victorian era myself, actually. It's just, you know, Anatomy of a Darkened Heart came to me in the Victorian era for some reason. And so one of the things I always said was, I'm never going to write historical fiction because it's just too difficult with all that research. And what did I end up writing? Historical fiction. So it's kind of funny. But it just happened that way. And it ended up really playing into itself, especially with the amount of rights that women did and didn't have at the time. And in Brotherhood of Secrets, of course, there are some sections where Mr. Locke, one of the main characters, really takes advantage of that. And again, I don't want to give spoilers, but he does insist, you know, to this one woman who he really wants to have in his life. you know, that she really wouldn't have any rights with a particular line of events that have happened, and that she really should stay by his side because of that. And so there are certain things like that that lend themselves to the storyline, but I do think you're right. There are many things that could actually take place in modern times, too.
Yeah, well, it's a good setting for it. I have to agree with that, and I think I like the fact that you did put it into the Victorian era, just simply because it lets you bring out a little bit more of the characters of the time, their dress and, you know, in the shops and whatnot. I think it was very appropriate for the storyline. I really do.
Thank you.
Yeah, and mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say there are some things that also lend themselves, even aesthetically, to that kind of thing. Like, I was really determined to have Damask wallpaper and in Anatomy of a Darkened Heart. And really, that time period, it worked out so well. There are other things about, you know, cleaning. And, you know, again, it's difficult not to give away spoilers when you talk about my books, because one thing leads to another leads to another. So discussing them can be difficult if someone hasn't read them. But, yeah, there are quite a lot of things that do lend themselves to that era.
Christy, when we were planning, you know, the show, we started talking, and I think it was Anita raised a really interesting question. She said, how much of us is in our books? And so, you know, I would like to ask you, how much of you is in your book? Like, are you in the pages? Are you in the personality?
A lot of times I see things, like, in other people. I'll meet people or I'll see things in other people. I'll do research. Things like that will make it into the book, usually in a pretty warped way. So it's never exactly what I've experienced or people I've met necessarily, but there are certainly things that end up making it into those pages. And my favorite example to give is actually from my first book, Anatomy of a Darkened Heart, where there's, you know, the main character, Abigail Whitestone, who really only feels comfortable in her room, in her bed, where she doesn't have to deal with the outside world. She doesn't have to deal with her abusive mother. And she, you know, is able to hide there, picture herself in a better place, and be happy. And so that is an extreme version of when I was in college and there would be, you know, drama or difficulties with grades or whatever, you name any kind of drama that can happen in school. And really the place that I felt everything could calm down was in my own dorm room and in my bed. And so I would just go there and take a nap and the world would disappear for a little while. And so I take little things like that and I really make them a lot more extreme, or I warp them in some way so that I can use them for the book and I know that they're accurate. They're a definite way that someone could feel because I've felt it before. So there are certainly things throughout my books like that that I have really changed but still reflect my own experiences.
Hi, Christy, RL here. So my next question to you is, what you're working on next?
Well, I actually have a short horror story that is up for pre-order. It's called The Subtlety of Terror, and it's just under 2,000 words. It's up right now on Amazon, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, 99 cents. That releases September 13th, and that I am going to actually, if you can get it for pre-order, 99 cents, or I will be making it free afterwards. But in the meantime, you know, I'm putting out little things like that, working on another horror story. But I am, of course, working on the Dark Victoriana collection. And so the third book is going to be, as I said, based around the Timothy character from Brotherhood of Secrets. It will be still psychological suspense, but with a heavy dose of mystery thrown in. So it's going to be a little bit different. I like to keep each story different than the one before. So, you know, again, keeping it unpredictable, a new experience each time. And I'm also working on a short story for the Dark Victoriana collection, which is pretty much unrelated to actually the other books. It is really using my Victorian research. It's interesting, but at this point doesn't have any of the characters from the other books. That could change, but those are mostly what I'm working on now.
Oh, I've got a question. I'd like to follow up on that, if I may, just a moment, RL. Writing short stories versus full-length novel, they each have their own, you know, advantages and disadvantages. Which do you believe is more difficult to write, the short story or a full-length novel?
I actually have an easier time with short stories, believe it or not. I know a lot of people a lot of writers struggle with that because it's using every word to make mm-hmm. sure that every word goes towards the plot, every word goes towards the end. But that's actually easy for me as a novelist. I tend to underwrite because I am a huge believer in making every single word count. Every single word should be in the ambiance of what I'm writing too. So for me, short stories are way easier actually. Trying to write a novel and ensuring that I've fleshed it out enough is a little bit more difficult. And of course, historical fiction is the most difficult because of all the research involved, which I do definitely enjoy, but as you can imagine, takes quite a lot of time. So I'm enjoying putting short stories out in the meantime while I do this other work that's quite a bit harder.
Well, I have to agree, but some of the short stories that I've written, I feel the same way. It's making every single word count. And if you want to add something, you've got to go back and take away something, you know, to get it to fit in. So that's interesting. Thank you.
So, Christy, I just wanted to ask, do you have any upcoming signing events happening that maybe your readers can get the chance to meet you?
I will have one. So far, I have one in November. It's going to be November 10th at the Monroe Library. This is in New Jersey. And so there's going to be a little pop-up shop there, and I'll be selling my books. I'll be selling some jewelry that I'll be making as well. And I'm going to have some cool signs up. I do gift wrap my books, so I will have pre-signed books there that are gift wrapped in the theme of that particular book. So as you can imagine, Anatomy of a Darkened Heart will be wrapped in damask paper with a ribbon, and Brotherhood of Secrets is actually wrapped in black paper that is hand-stamped with locks and keys, and it comes with a little key charm. So I'll be there, and I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Wow, that's really cool and interesting ways to get people to come to the table, and like as a keepsake, really nice idea for those books. Anybody have any other questions they want to ask before we wrap up and get the links to Christy's books?
I think,
okay.
You know, she really gave a great interview. You know, we really, everything we set out, she answered beautifully. It was a great interview.
Well, I have to agree. It's some really good information there, especially for any new authors who might be listening, you know, to the broadcast down the line. You know, just some tips on the writing itself. Excellent. Very well done, young lady.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to
have
you.
Thanks, Christy. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. Could you go ahead and tell the readers where they can find your books, list any links, and we're going to go ahead and also put those on the website and our Facebook so that they can find you later as well.
Great. You can find me at ChristyStratus.com. You can buy books directly from me, and they do come with that gift wrapping. So do think ahead to the holiday season, of course, and keep me in mind. You can also find my books on Amazon. You can find them on Smashwords, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, most platforms I am on. I'm also on Patreon now, patreon.com/ChristyStratus. I just started that up, and I'm offering some great rewards that I think that you will appreciate, so check it out. You can find me also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm even on Pinterest. I have my own YouTube show called The Writer's Edge, and you can find that at youtube.com/The Writer's Edge Show. So thank you so much again for having me. This was really great.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Christy. It's been a complete pleasure. And to the listeners, remember, if you want to stay up to date with Christy and her entertaining world, please visit her at ChristyStratus.com. That's ChristyStratos.com. And could you also name that event again in November so that readers can take note of it?
That will be at the Monroe Library in New Jersey. It'll be a pop-up shop on November 10th, and it's going to be 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Awesome. Please look for her books on iBooks, Nook, Kobo, and Amazon. This is R.L. Jackson saying so long for Carol T. Roman and Anita Dickinson. We'd like to thank our guest, Christy Stratus, and all of our listeners. We hope you'll tune in for another Indie Authors Roundtable, where we bring the latest in books, authors, and indie publishing to the table. Don't forget to catch the latest issue of Indie Authors Monthly, available on Magster.com. Have an amazing day, and see you next time.